Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Podcast.
We're your hosts, Landon Oliver.
And Drake Rinesmith.
With our first episode, we'll be going over the WWE 2020 Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
And, we won't keep you waiting, so let's get right into it. Alright, the first match of the actual pay-per-view was a Fatal 4-Way Tag Match between John Morrison, The Miz, The New Day, Lucha House Party, and some army dudes who I had never heard of.
The Forgotten Sons. They're NXT call-ups.
Yeah. So, that match is kind of forgettable. I mean,
I didn't find much. I like what they did with it. I like the idea. It could have been a lot better. They could have, you know, done it like it was in WrestleMania 17 and 18 with the Hardy Boys, Dudleys, and Edge and Christian. Could have been a lot like that. But I see no reason why The Miz and Morrison, I see no reason why they lost it. They, you know, they had a good reign. They go so good together. I love the music. I love their whole, you know, idea. The New Day of just the New Day always has it. Like, 1 month they don't have it, the next they do, and it's overdone. They've had it seven or eight times now.
I think they're at nine now with this latest. Well, no, because they haven't lost it and gotten it back, because they're still at eight.
Yeah.
Jeez. Dude, it's pretty insane. I don't know. I mean, I liked some of the stuff. Like, there's some good spots with House Party, but they're always high flyers, so it's always
I like their team, but I just can't get into the Lucha Door type thing. I just can't get into it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's very unique. But yeah, so after that, there was there's a promo with Rollins, but that was a little weird.
We can't forget about the pre-show, though.
Oh. Jeff Hardy and Cesaro. That was...
It was a good match. They're building something for Jeff Hardy. I'm not exactly what, sure. But it's something, and anything's anything for a wrestler at his age. You can see, you know, John Cena is getting, you know, put off. They're not doing anything with them, and I'm hoping they don't do that with, you know, other wrestlers that are their age. It was a good match between two good competitors. Jeff Hardy came out with the win.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't fully watch that match, but I saw bits and pieces of it, and it was pretty good from what I saw. But yeah, after that little promo with Rollins, it was I thought it was going to be MVP versus R-Truth. Also, let's say R-Truth. It was funny where he was doing the whole, like, rapping bit with nobody.
Yeah.
But it was funny, but, like, I feel like it went on for too long.
R-Truth, that's the point. They want to drag it out, so it just looks stupid. R-Truth's character is just, it's unique. They've used it for 10 years now, or longer, probably. Yeah. And it just doesn't get old. It's always funny.
Yeah. So yeah, I think, I mean, then MVP came out. He's looking like Black Panther, like he always does. And they're getting ready to do the match, and then freaking Big Boy Bobby Lashley comes out and is like, "Hey, you get the day off," and then completely mopped the floor with R-Truth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was fine. There's a little promo with Bayley talking about how, it was kind of forgettable. Bayley and Tamina, it was all right.
It was a good match. I knew Bayley would come out with the win because Tamina's character it's been the same character for so long, and her character's just boring. There's nothing to it other than I'm a snooker.
Yeah. Oh, also, I had a note here. For the first match, there was a white referee because it was a bunch of people. For Lashley and R-Truth, there's a black referee.
Okay.
And then for Bayley and Tamina, there's a female referee. Just hilarious.
Okay, I see how you are, Vince. I see you, Vince.
I see how it is.
Oh, and by the way, guys, we won't just be talking about WWE. For the first, you know...
Oh, yeah.
This episode and the next episode, it might be just WWE. We might bring it up every now and then. But with future episodes, there will be stuff about AEW, Ring of Honor, TNA, you know, different things.
Oh, yeah. Everything pro wrestling. It's here. All right, so my next match that we had was Strowman versus The Fiend, or Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend.
Yeah, come on, we needed to see The Fiend.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the build-up was good. It made sense, you know, the whole Braun Strowman being with the Wyatt family, and now he's not.
But my thing is, like, don't even bring up the Wyatt family. Where is Eric Rowan hasn't been seen since Daniel Bryan was the new Daniel Bryan. And Luke Harper is with AEW as Brody Lee, and he's about to have a World Heavyweight Championship match with Jon Moxley. Like,
for real.
They shouldn't bring up the Wyatt family for that.
But, I mean, that match, there were some good spots. I liked where Wyatt was going for the Sister Abigail, and then he kind of stopped for a sec, and then Strowman picked him up, gave him a choke slam. That was good. I thought the bit with the mask was absolutely stupid. I mean, it was a little weird. I thought at first it was legit, and then obviously it turned out he was just messing around.
Strowman's the brew. He's not the mind games guy. Bray Wyatt is the mind games guy.
All the way. So yeah, I mean, that match, there wasn't a lot to say. I thought it was a little weird how they had his puppets out ringside with him. I mean, like, you just see this little pig with chocolate around its mouth going, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It was something, I'll tell you what. But yeah, I feel like if you're going to use the Bray Wyatt character, just use him as the Fiend. I get people are getting tired of the Fiend.
I love the Fiend. It's the greatest character idea Vince has had in so long.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like it. I like what they're doing with it. It doesn't feel like Finn Balor. I thought it would.
Yeah, because Finn Balor brings out the demon once or twice a year, and, like, it just doesn't happen.
But now since he's with NXT again,
yeah,
I have my whole thoughts on that. That's a different story.
Yeah.
It's weird. So that was Strowman versus Fiend. We probably should go back. Yeah, Bayley won, obviously. New Day won, obviously. Lashley won, obviously. And so for our next match, we had Drew McIntyre versus Joseph Seed. Oh, Seth Rollins.
Only Far Cry 5 players would understand that.
Yeah. I felt like the build-up was just rushed and kind of weak.
It could have been better. It really could have. Like, this whole Messiah thing is stupid. I would have rather seen Rollins, like, 2015 heel Rollins against Drew McIntyre. I would have rather seen, 2019 Rollins against Drew McIntyre. This whole Messiah thing is stupid. They could have cut Buddy Murphy, opened more cap space, and signed another wrestler, giving them good money, because they could have cut Buddy Murphy on the April 15th with all those other releases with Zack Ryder, Kurt Hawkins, and all them. They could have opened a bunch of cap space and bought another person, which I know Vince has probably the biggest cap space in the world, but money's money.
Yeah. I don't like Rollins' new theme. I like Burn It Down. I mean, he's been using it since he got out of the Shield, and even though he added the Burn It Down a few years ago, it just, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Well, he added it after he got back from freaking his big old knee injury, but yeah.
Yeah.
The match, it kind of felt slow. It got boring after a while. I mean, there's a bit where McIntyre kept doing freaking belly-to-belly suplexes. That wasn't horrible. It felt like Brock Lesnar, though.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar, they don't need Brock Lesnar as champion anymore. We don't need another Brock party.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny, though, because I feel like McIntyre's kind of riding the I beat Brock Lesnar train, just like Rollins was a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, if you look on his freaking ass tights, he's got the freaking Brock Lesnar's skull with a claymore. But I had a theory about Rollins. I mean, since at the end of that match, they did the whole handshake thing, I feel like they could be building up for a face turn for Rollins, because people are just hating the whole, like, Messiah thing.
Yeah. You know how Vince is, though. He doesn't listen to what people want. He keeps denying storylines that people keep bringing up to him. He only does his storylines for the most part. It's just getting ridiculous. Whereas in AEW, you can practically do whatever you want. All promos are on the spot.
AEW is kind of the Wild West of wrestling right now, though. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
enjoy it more. I watch it every Wednesday. It's a good show to watch.
I go back and forth. Well, actually, I don't really go back and forth. I just watch NXT the week after. I'm always a week behind on that, but you know. It's all right. I had a bunch of notes for the Money in the Bank match, but we'll get to that. But, it's sponsor time. Let's go to that. All right, and we're back. All right, so Money in the Bank match. That was, well, it was something.
And you can't even, what? I mean, is it two separate matches? I mean, they happened at the same time, but like.
But it was it was long enough to be, it felt like a regular length for a Money in the Bank match, but it was two.
Yeah, like even the women were getting involved with the men, like.
Yeah, I mean, freaking Corbin almost. Asuka knocked off Corbin.
Yeah.
Gave him the. But yeah, let's rewind. Let's go right back to the beginning of the match. They were like, for each person that was coming in, they were like giving stats and stuff, and it felt like it was a football game.
Yeah. They're like, trying to.
Finisher.
They're starting. They did that back, you know, a couple, 5, 6 years ago, and they stopped doing it. Mm. I think they started doing it again because AEW kind of does it a bit. They do, like, the ranking system, like, you know how the NFL is like, oh, you're 6-2. They do that with wrestlers, like, oh, he's won 21 matches, you know, lost 2, and, you know, he's had 3 DQs. I think they're trying to do something with that. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And this is kind of off topic from the match, but WWE is kind of stale right now. They, like, no crowd. Like, AEW, they have the superstars outside of the ring. You know, they interact with the matches. Mm-hmm. They yell. Like, Ty Dillinger, which that's not his name anymore. In AEW, he's got this air horn he's always blowing. It's annoying, but it's mm-hmm. funny. I think Vince should do that. I think the only reason they haven't done that is because.
It's because they don't want to be, like, called copying.
Which kind of sucks, but.
Yeah, it's. It's with everything that they do that could be possibly linked to one another is going to get called out.
Yeah.
So I see why he doesn't, but it would just make stuff so much mm-hmm. better. Or even, like, I don't know, but I don't like what they're doing with the 24/7 title. Like, Gronk has it right now. What the hell?
And Gronk's going to the Tampa Bay. Like, when was the last time we saw him on wrestling? Like, the Raw after WrestleMania? Like, oof. Or SmackDown or
whatever. I think. Yeah, I don't know, dude. But yeah, so back to the Money in the Bank match. That's what this pay-per-view is about. We're done. We get off topic.
Sorry.
No, you're good. The gal started in the lobby, like first floor, and the dude started in like a gym.
Yeah.
Or it was like a lifting room.
Weight room.
It was very. Yeah, it was a weight room. I mean, I just wrote it was a lot of running around and hitting people.
I think they shouldn't.
Corbin breaking the
mirror. Go for it. You're good.
All right. Corbin breaking the mirror was kind of funny. That was I don't know. So, what were you saying?
I think they should stop with this, like, cinematic stuff. Like, it's not a movie, it's wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I get it for the Boneyard match. That makes a little bit of sense. But you don't need to do it for every big match.
Undertaker's 5,000. Yeah.
I think they should do that every match. I mean, well, every big match. They don't do it every match, but, like, it just gets old. Like, it's not a movie, it's wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Like, I could not stand at the end of the, like, match where there was, like, music going to this, like,
moves.
It didn't make sense. But there was a lot of, like, running through hallways.
Elevators.
Getting hit with stuff. Yeah. Which that's all fun. I mean, we've seen them go to the HQ before and wrestle. It's not like it's the first time it's ever been done. I mean, there was some like special guests, John Laurinaitis,
Brown.
I mean, it's fun seeing them, but it was like
one thing that I found funny is that when Baron threw Mysterio off the quote unquote end of the, there was a pad right outside of it that he landed on.
Oh yeah, you hear it.
It's the same thing with Aleister Black too.
Oh, I wrote up with where am I? Oh yeah. So where Paul Heyman's out there digging in to his one-man buffet.
He could eat the whole thing.
Where they all come out there. Yeah, I mean, I'd see him.
I do too.
But like, yeah. I was like, oh God, here we go. It's going to be another food fight. And then right after, your big boy Otis go, food fight! He's the only one throwing stuff at first. And, I wrote, whenever Nia Jax and Otis both run into Rey Mysterio, I put Rey's gangbang. I thought you would have gone down there. Like, I would have been fine if we didn't see anything for the rest of that match.
It would have made sense. I would have felt bad.
I mean, yeah. So that was a thing. And then, like, I don't know, dude. Like, running around the place, it was fine.
Could have been better.
It got boring after a while.
It could have been better. WWE has so much potential that they're not using just because it's coronavirus. They're holding off certain things. Like, if CM Punk were to ever return, which I don't think he will, in ring return, I don't think he will. But they're saving all the good stuff for, like, live shows to come back. Because Jeff Hardy, his 2008-2009 theme song is supposed to come back. They're saving it for live shows. Same with Sheamus's old theme song. Because he's back to the, the fella.
He's back to the big spiky hair.
He's back to that. So they're bringing back his old music. And that's what, since Jeff Hardy is solo and he's not with Matt anymore, they want to bring it back. But they're saving it for live shows. Mm-hmm. Which, they're saving stuff. Oh, yeah. When we don't know when those are going to be back. For all we know, it'll be 2-3 years.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, and then by the time we get to those, it's going to be like, oh, well, do we even do this now? And then they're not going to do it because either they've gotten better stuff or they've just given up on it, I guess. I don't know. And it's going to suck because it's like, all right, well, I kind of wanted to see Jeff Hardy come out to his old theme song. But, yeah, so towards the end of the match, they finally make it up to the roof. Ray gets thrown over 5 feet, hits a pad at F. The ring is tiny. It's the smallest ring I've ever seen. It's like the performance size ring, but it's like even smaller than that. I don't know. I mean, I get they had to fit it on the roof safely, but it looked weird. You see two guys going back and forth. They're like trying to figure out timing. It was just, So, Asuka throws Corbin off the ladder. She grabs the she grabs the briefcase. That's fine. They're really pushing Asuka, and I don't dislike her, but she's not my favorite right now. After that, it's pretty good stuff. Otis keeps breaking the ladders. The finish was, for the dudes, was pretty unique. It's kind of been done, but Styles and who was it, Corbin, were both up and they're both wrestling for the briefcase. And then boom, it drops and it's in Otis's hands. Otis wins. Go ahead.
Shouldn't it be whoever unclips it?
That's what I thought. But I don't know, dude. Because if that's the case, then wasn't it AJ Styles? But
it was AJ.
Yeah. I really thought Corbin was going to win this one. That's what I had predicted, but
I had AJ Styles. No, I had Aleister Black.
Black was probably my number two, but I don't know, dude. They're really pushing Otis, and that's really because he's like freaking fucking Otis or Mandy. Let's go, big boy. But so that was like, all right, whatever. That's kind of how I feel about the whole pay-per-view. I was like, that's it? It felt really short. Could have been really so much better. I thought it was a little weird with the whole AJ Styles going into the room with the Undertaker thing. Like, what the fuck? I don't know. But so is there anything else you guys got to say?
I'm good. I've spoken my opinion.
Yeah, I think so have I. All right. But yeah, so that was our first episode of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. Let us know what you think, and can't wait. We haven't really figured out a schedule for how we're going to upload these, but just until we figure one out, just be on the lookout. I don't know how podcasts work, neither does he. If there's a way to turn on notifications for whenever we post, just do that, because I don't know what I'm posting again. But yeah, so thanks for watching, and tune in next time. See you guys. Yep.